Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, Text 44.
Tasmad Vacho Manapranan Tasmad Vacho Manapranan Niyachen Matparayanaha Niyachen Matparayanaha Madbhakti Juktaya Bhudya Madbhakti Juktaya Bhudya Tata Parisamapyate Tata Parisamapyate Tasmad Vacho Manapranam Niyachin Madparayanaha Madbhakti Juktaya Bhudya Tatas parisamapyate Tasmad vachumana pranan Niyachen madparayanaha Madbhakti juktaya buddhya Tatas parisamapyate Tasmad vachumana pranan Niyachen madparayanaha Madbhakti juktaya buddhya Tata parisamapyate
Prabhus
Tasmad bacho mana pranan Niyachen madparayanaha Madbhakti yuktaya buddhya Tata parisamapyate Tasmad bhacho mana pranan Niyachen madparayanaha Madbhakti yuktaya buddhya Tata parisamapyate Tasmad bacho mana pranan Niyachen mat parayanaha Madbhakti yuktaya buddhya Tata parisamapyate
Ladies
Tasmad bacho mana pranan Chin mad parayanaha Mad bhakti juktaya buddhya Tata parisamapyate Tasmat
Therefore
Bacha
Words
Mana
The mind
Pranan
The life fears
Niyachit,
one should control.
Matparayanaha,
who is devoted to me.
Mat,
unto me.
Bhakti,
with devotion.
Juktaya,
endowed.
Buddhya,
by such intelligence.
Tata,
thus.
Parisamapyate.
One fulfills the mission of life.
Translation.
Being surrendered to me, one should control the speech, mind, and life here. And then through loving, devotional intelligence, one will completely fulfill the mission of life. Being surrendered to me, one should control the speech, mind and life air. And then through loving devotional intelligence, one will completely fulfill the mission of life. Purport. One can develop loving devotional intelligence by perfectly chanting the Brahma Gayatri Mantra awarded at the moment of Brahman initiation. By clear intelligence, one becomes naturally and spontaneously disinterested in the rewards offered by mental speculation and fruitive activities, and takes full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord's Opulence. Being surrendered to me, one should control the speech, mind, and life air, and then through loving devotional intelligence, one will completely fulfill the mission of life. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Swabhadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dhinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I've been traveling in Eastern Europe with Dhanavir Swami, and because I'm an old man, some of the devotees ask me, what association did you have with Srila Prabhupada? And I say none. I said almost none. But they like to hear the narrations of when Srila Prabhupada would come to the airports. It's very beautiful. But I say I did have a little association with Srila Prabhupada. I was in the room alone with him one time when I took Brahminical initiation. Received Brahma Gayatri. So it was very nice. It was a nice experience, as you might imagine. So this is what happened. So you go in, you pay obeisances. Prabhupada asks you if you've been chanting your 16 rounds every day without fail. Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Have you been following the four regulative principles very strictly? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada shows you how to chant 10 times on the spaces of your finger. And for me, it went very smoothly. Some of my friends have stories about how they goofed up. And sometimes you see Prabhupada like this. Oh, Krishna. But then I realized it was over. And I paid obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. And I looked up at Srila Prabhupada. And he went like this. So I felt very small, as if a fly was being chased from his knee. Get out of here. Don't waste any time asking foolish questions. And I was dismissed. But there was another meaning to that. A flick of his wrist. And it's like he wrote Krishnadas. He said, you are facing various obstacles You say you're facing various obstacles on your path. Prabhupada said, there are no obstacles. Because I can remove those obstacles with one swift kick of my foot. All obstacles are removed. This is Srila Prabhupada's potency. It was predicted that Srila Prabhupada would open 108 temples. Before he left, he opened 96 temples and 12 farm communities. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Now, how many temples there are? Over 600. Just see the expansion of the glories of my spiritual master. And we see all over the movement, remarkable growth. I mean, over 500 million books produced. This is evidence of Srila Prabhupada's presence as the soul of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada continues to inspire and empower the leaders of our movement and others. It's just wonderful to be here. I want to thank you for having me. The kirtans were so wonderful here, greeting the deities. Actually, all over the world, they're so nice wherever you go. I was just thinking that this is Srila Prabhupada's potency. Prabhupada says that our movement is the Hare Krishna movement. So what's our means of perfection? Here it is. That will completely fulfill the mission of life. It's to have complete faith in the holy names. Don't maintain any material attachments. Don't be that foolish. That's like having, like in India, they cook with the flame on the floor sometimes. So the flame is here. The pot of rice is up there at the ceiling. So, how long will it take for the rice to get cooked? 300 million births, at least. The rice is never going to get cooked. You chant with material attachments. So it's not an offense to have material attachments. It's an offense to maintain your material attachments. Because here's the thing. Anyone who's chanted Hare Krishna for just a little while knows that material attachments fly away from the heart. And one can attain perfection on this path of self-discovery. So our method is chanting. 1,000 times I was cheated before coming to this movement. His Holiness Radhanath Swami made his trek across the Mideast to India, going to the Himalayas. His destination was the Himalayas to meditate with the yogis. And I went on my own trek to the Himalayas of America, called the Rocky Mountains, Haribo. Because in 1970, the Rocky Mountains were full of ashrams and yogis and gurus. And I could name them, but I won't waste your time. I can just tell you that they all cheated me, each and every one of them, except Yogi Bhajan. He was a nice guy, and Prabhupada liked him. Prabhupada met with Yogi Bhajan. He knew he wasn't a cheater. Yogi Bhajan was doing his best to help in seek Dharma, help other, lift up others and seek Dharma. Actually, I lived in a Kundalini ashram for some time, and we followed four regulative principles. We rose at 3:30 in the morning. We had a nice sadhan, and I worked at their restaurant called Hanuman's in Denver. And so the head of the ashram, he said, you know what? I like you. I'm going to give you this special mantra. I'm going to write it on the wall where I wash pots and pans all day long. I was getting my lessons in humility even then. He said, I'm going to write this mantra on the wall in front of you, and you can chant it. I got it from my Krishna friend. So he wrote the mantra on the wall. And you know what that mantra was? No. I knew you were going to say that. I know. But you're going to love this. He wrote, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kamaraya
Govindaya Namo Namaha. Yeah. It was. And not knowing what I was saying, I made up my own melody, and I said that all day long. Little did I know that I had begun my journey. A little while later, this one little miniature bogus guru came to town. I went to see about this fellow, surrounded by his sannyasins. And you were to receive knowledge from this fellow. And I wanted to know God. I wanted to know how to satisfy my deepest emotional needs. I wanted to completely fulfill my mission in life. I was on a journey. And I wanted success. And I wanted victory. And I wanted peace and happiness. And I wanted to mitigate the miseries of life. So I went to this fellow because I was a naive 18 or 19-year-old. And what they did is they gave, do you want to receive knowledge? Yes, yes, I want to receive knowledge. So they'd have you waiting for days to receive knowledge. And then you would receive knowledge, and I swear to God, they sat you in a room, and all these boys and girls poked their eyes and poked their nose and pushed their ears and did this little silly breathing technique. It looked like when you'd take a dip in the Ganga, you know. You were supposed to see the divine light and taste the nectar and whatever it was. So here's the point of all this. So I didn't receive knowledge. Nothing happened. There was no mystical transference of powers or light or anything. So I went outside. I sat down. I had no direction in life. At this point, I had seen all the gurus. I'd seen all the yogis. I'd been to all the ashrams. You name it. I had already talked to everybody. And my friend sat next to me. I had no material skill sets, and I had no direction in spiritual life. It was very difficult. Then my friend said, "Dude, I'm hungry." And he said, "Let's go to the Hare Krishna temple." I said, "Hare Krishna? I never ever heard of the Hare Krishna people." But what had happened is that all the devotees came down from Boulder to Denver, and they purchased 1400 Cherry Street. And it was an old dingy building then, at that time. And so we went there because it was Sunday, and they were well known for serving free food to hippies like myself. So I walked in the front door, and there were about 60 or 70 African-Americans with their arms raised, and they were dancing. They were saying, "Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus." And I said, "Oh, these Hare Krishna people are great." My friend said, "These aren't the Hare Krishna people. Those are the Pentecostals. They just sold the place to the Hare Krishna people. They're out of here in 2 weeks." I said, "Okay." He said, "The Hare Krishnas live downstairs." Oh, I said, "Okay." So I went downstairs. There were about 15 young, Caucasian kids, boys and girls, about my age. And they were hands raised, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. We had a nice kirtan. And then they did a drama how the Kazi's men stopped kirtan. And so they were doing this great drama. They had clay mridangas made from flower pots or whatever, and they threw them against the wall. Pow! They smashed everywhere. And I was like, "Wow, this is great." I was vegan at the time. I was way ahead of the day. I was macrobiotic. That was the 1970s vegan. I took my prasad, and the devotee preached to me, sat and talked to me. It was great. It was teaching me so many things, but I wouldn't touch my sweet rice. He said, "Hey, you take sweet rice." And he's right there, and right above him is a picture of Prabhupada. Right above him. I remember this particular picture. It's a beautiful picture. Taken in the courtyard, 26 Second Avenue. Just his face. And he's talking to me, and I'm looking at Prabhupada. He's talking to me, I'm looking at Prabhupada. It's like Prabhupada's talking to me. He's doing all the preaching. He's telling me, drink your sweet rice. Drink your sweet rice. And I'm looking at him. It's almost as if Prabhupada just... I said, listen. I said, if it's okay with him, it's okay with me. It didn't take much to break down my veganism. So I was on a mission. It was wonderful. Just imagine. Then I asked him the same questions I'd ask everybody else on my path. I wanted to know, who is God? And I said, so listen, you know, I've asked maybe 40 or 50 places around the Front Range. I've gone everywhere. I've talked to everybody. All I have is questions. I don't have any answers. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked my mother, my priests, my professors, the yogis, the gurus, and all the ashrams. I said, I wasn't even thinking I was going to get an answer. I was happy my belly was full. I said, who is God? He said, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. What's your next question? Jai Kalachanji. Finally I got an answer. Oh, and he spoke with authority. You know, I said, well, on what authority do you speak? And why are there miseries? Why did a perfect God create an imperfect world? Perfect questions, perfect answers. So, I was just traveling with His Holiness Dhanavir Swami, and I was in Portland, Oregon, and I'm taking orders after the Sunday feast. We have a big table with all samples of his books. And so everybody's making orders for Garga Samhita. Maharaj has written 55 books. Five on Vedic cosmology. The Garga Samhita, beautiful books. They're just like an extension of the 10th canto. It's all saturated with Braj Leela. It's a wonderful, wonderful book that Prabhupada wants you to read, because he said, write your realizations, what you realize about Krishna. And Maharaj is doing that. He's making a huge literary contribution to the Gaudiya Library. I beg you, please, order this book. Unwrap the book and actually open the book. You actually have to take the plastic off so you can read it. I go to some devotee's homes, I say, the plastic's still on the book. He goes, yeah, Prabhu. it's many volumes. It's like the 10th canto. It's like this long. This comes in a big set. So I'm taking orders, and this fellow's looking at me from the back. He's a guy about my age, American guy. Hello, taking orders, and everybody clears, and he looks at me and he says, you know, can I talk to you? I said, well, sure. I said, sit down. He says, can I ask you a question? I said, well, sure. He said, I know you. Oh, I said, Prue, I haven't been to Portland for 30 years. No, he said, I know you. I said, I've seen you before. It was the Denver Temple, summer 1971. I sat down and talked to you. I said, Hari Bo, Prabhus. That was 46 years ago. And I was long-haired 19-year-old. And he still remembered me. Yeah. Maitreya Das. Kurukshetra is there. Pran Balaba, Mother Kamalavati, Kurukshetra, and Tulsi. Tulsi was there. So it was a small temple. But look at the temple now. They have so many nice brahmacharis that some are going to come here and start a bhakti program. Hari Bol. That's what Pranata Karuna told me. He's thinking about branching out. You know about it. So we hope we can have facility for these beautiful brahmacharis. At Mangalartik, we have about 20 brahmacharis and some madhijis on the other side. Beautiful, powerful Mangalartik every day. Everybody gets trained. I was living in New Vrindavan doing my seva. This young one boy from down in Moundsville, he came up, he wanted to learn. Yeah, sure. He was bhakta, and I took off. The next thing I know is Pranatka Karunika. He's a leading Brahmin at the Denver Temple. Next time I see him, he's doing artik. He's leading kirtans, playing mridanga like a professional, like Bengali. And he's training all the other boys. I'm like, look at this transformation. Just see the glories of my Guru Maharaj. That Prabhupada's potency is that he can create jewels and successive generations of jewels. And it's wonderful to see around the world. Hearing Bhagavatam in Czech Republic or Maharashtra, or I was in Sprouts yesterday, I saw an Indian boy. I said, hello, Hare Krishna. I said, where are you from in India? He said, Maharashtra. I said, I go to Maharashtra. I said, where are you from? He said, Pune. I said, do you go ISKCON Mandir in Pune? He said, oh yes. I said, Balaji Mandir? Oh yes. I said, just see. So, just see who you'll meet in Sprouts. So all over the world, people are coming in contact with Balaji at Pune. It's perhaps one of the most beautiful temples in the world, is Pune Mandir. Just everything about it is something special. So all over the world, so few people were here swinging the deities this morning compared to how many people are in Dallas. Just the fortunate few who can afford to pay the price for a smoky black diamond called Kalachanji. Prabhus, if you want a beautiful diamond, about that big, maybe this big, 400 carats, who can afford? Krishna's more valuable than a 400 carat smoky black diamond. But Kalachanji, he'll give himself. Kalachanji is the property of the tested devotees. So if you're going to come this far to the 11th canto, 16th chapter, and read this verse, being surrendered to me, one should control speech, mind, life airs, and then through loving devotional intelligence, one will completely fulfill the mission of life. Just see, Prabhus, perfection, victory, real success. If you're going to come this far in your journey, you'll have been tested. Do you believe it? Have you been tested? I think you have. And if you've come this far and you've humbled yourself and you've tolerated criticism, insults, and you've tolerated these things with dignity and Krishna consciousness, Krishna's impressed. One time, Prabhupada's godbrother, Obio Kapoor, forgot his initiated name, he said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, I want that tonic that you have. And Prabhupada was a pharmacist. And Prabhupada said, oh yes, what tonic is that? And he said, I want that tonic you have of love of God. Prabhupada put his head down very humbly. Prabhupada says, I don't have that tonic, but I know the formula. Obiel Kapoor says, yes, yes, what is the formula? Prabhupada said, Trinada Pisa Nichena, Torora Pisa Hishnuna, Amanina Manadina, Kirtaniya Sadahadi. How can you chant Hare Krishna and be happy unless you've passed your tests? Unless you humbled yourself in front of the Vaishnavas? Unless you've tolerated the forces of the mind, the senses? Dhanavir Maharaj. Maharaj, Dhanavir's not a Maharaja. He's not a great king. He doesn't own he's not live in a palace and have land and treasury, but he is a Maharaj because he's conquered the kingdom of the senses. This is the potency of the spiritual master. Guru Dev, Kripa Bindu D, I'm running behind you. I'm begging you. I'm calling with desperation. Guru Dev, Guru Dev, please save me. Please help me to control these influences. You are not the body. So who's acting like we are not the bodies?
the Brahmins. They're actually acting on that platform. It's easy to come, you're not the body, hung brahmasmi, but to actually act on that platform. Other people can say like that when you speak to them. Yes, I know, I have that idea. But they act like they're their bodies, and they follow the compulsions of the bodies. But all of ISKCON is a prison ministry. And we're trying to help prisoners. We're trying to help prisoners means all those people out on I-35 East. I think he wants you. You have to go? Oh, don't make me cry. You're dragging him out. How do you go? He was listening so nicely. Okay, Prabhu. All those prisoners who are running up and down I-35 East, West, whatever other highways there are in town here. Prabhupada used to make the sound. Zoom, 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 zoom. It's like they're looking for Krishna frantically. They've lost, like the gopis, they've lost their Krishna. Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? But instead they make the mistake and they're chasing the dollar. And they're chasing the euro. And they're chasing the rupee. Thinking, this comfort will bring me everlasting peace. What is that great illusion where they think I'll stay perpetually in this prison and live happily? It's like they're really, really seeking the subterranean heavenly planets. You know this? The phenomena there? There's no sense of death there. If somebody dies, they don't really know that. Everybody's an enjoyer in the subterranean heavenly planets. Little demon rascals. Very beautiful. Lit up by the diamonds on the heads of snakes. We're all looking for that little demoniac heaven. So these prisoners in this Mahatattva, they're enamored by the entertainment. And if you took them to Goloka right now, they'd be very unhappy. Like you'd just drag them to hell. What is all this? What's with the peacocks? You know. So quiet. There's no passion. Oh no. What they like are the pickup trucks, right? The cowboys, beer, and the cheerleaders. That, you take that away from them, and it's just like hell, right? Like the miners. The preacher goes to the miners. If we don't have coffee and newspapers, oh my God. You know, it's like hell without these, no newspapers. Oh. So we're preaching to prisoners. They're called institutionalized prisoners. They love their prison. That's why there weren't more people in the temple room swinging Radha Govinda. But we appreciate and love our Gaudiya family, don't we? It's the family's expanding all over the world. It's fascinating to see. And not just in Ukraine or India, it's all over the United States. New people are coming. Each soul saved is precious. Fascinating. You can't get institutionalized prisoners to leave the prison. They like it. They break back into prison. There's been news stories about people breaking into prison. One fellow named Marvin in California. Other devotees send me news items from their country. People are trying to break into prison. They don't have anything on them. They're not trying to bring contraband in or any such thing. Why do they do that? Because prison's like a mother. Huh? Durga, just like a mother. She cradles them and feeds them. Provides a nice warm bed. 3 meals a day. You can have recreation. You can lift weights with your friends all day. Shoot some hoops. And stay in this prison. With medical, by the way. Haribo. Medical insurance. You don't have to work. So this is who we're trying to preach to. Success in the material world means I want to become first-class prisoner. Right? With all the comforts in my prison cell. So it's a little difficult to get through. And those souls who want to break out of prison, want to escape compulsions of the body, the forces of the mind, they're very special and we associate with them every day. Here's the prayer of a prisoner right here. Dhanavir Maharaj likes this verse. Kamadinam katina katida palita durne deshas Tesham jatamaina karunana pashantihi utsridjaya tana to jadapate sang pratang love the Buddhist tongayata sharanang abayang mang niyong swama dasye.
What that verse means, it's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's a very nice verse. Sometimes when you hear it and you quote it and then you see Prabhupada quoting it himself. So what is the verse Prabhupada used to quote? He liked it. Here's my bookmark, if you can see. A smoky, dark-eyed boy of New Vrindavan. Vrindavan Chandra. So I say this prayer to Vrindavan Chandra. Oh, my Lord! I say this prayer to Kalachanji, dark moon of my heart. Oh, my Lord! There is no limit to the unwanted orders of the material desires that infest my heart. I have served these bad masters for many lifetimes. And for all of my service, they've not shown me any mercy. For my service, they put whips on my back. I've not been ashamed to serve the bad masters of my material desires, nor have I even desired to give up their wicked service. But my dear Lord, thanks to the mercy of your pure servant, my intelligence has now been awakened. My loving devotional intelligence, as we read in the verse, beautiful phrase. My devotional intelligence has finally been awakened by the mercy of your servant. And now I do desire to give up these bad masters. So please, I'm approaching you. Kindly help me. Surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. My dear Lord, I am desperately calling to you. Kindly engage me in your service. What do you think of that? That's the mood of the Maha Mantra. That Lord Hari, Hari in the vocative has Hare. Hara in the vocative is Hare. So we're calling to Radha and Krishna. Krishna, Kalachanji, Ramana means Radha Ramana, the enjoyer. Oh, my enjoyer. Hey, Deva. Hey, Dayata. Hey, Bhuvanaika Bandhu. Hey, Krishna. Hey, Chapala. Hey, Karunaika Sindhu. Hey, Nata. Hey, Ramana. Hey, Nayana Biram. Ha ha, Kada Anubhavatasi Padam Drishorme. Such a beautiful calling to Krishna. Hey, Deva. Hey, Dayata. Oh, merciful one. Oh, Bhuvanaika Bandhu, friend of the universe, Jagannath. Hey, Deva. Hey, Dayata. Hey, Bhuvanaika Bandhu. Hey, Krishna. Hey, Chapala. Oh, restless one. Hey, Nayana Biram. Oh, with lotus, elegant lotus eyes. Hey, Ramana, oh, my enjoyer. Oh, most merciful one. Please allow me to approach your lotus feet. So in desperation, isn't it? Prabhupada said, we're crying with the desperation of a child. We say these prayers. We say the Maha Mantra. Oh, let me get it. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You can find it in Prabhupada's verse book, and it's on page 401. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's the third wave, second chapter, and it's verse 35. Yes. That was quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 16. Prabhupada also liked to quote it in his verses, describing our position. So we break into prison. You could say, how stupid is that? To break into prison, but we do it. If we willingly become diverted. I mean, the fruit of workers, they're in willful oblivion. Pasyanapina pashyati. Although they have eyes, they cannot see. Kunti Devi says, my dear Lord, you are within and you are without and they cannot see you. So we break into prison ourselves if we're on the Kanishta platform or if we forget Krishna. It's just like breaking into the prison. How foolish is that? So it's very simple. There's a solution.
chanting Hare Krishna is not different from thinking of Krishna. Manmana, always think of me. That's very easy. Hare Krishna. Very nice. Very sublime. I've seen around the world that very, very nice devotees, sincere devotees, if they're having any difficulty, they're having difficulty with their japa also, typically. My dear friend in the Bay Area, I was living with him. He treats me with much love and affection, and I have great attachment to him. But he chants, and I was telling him this, he's not enunciating clearly. We have to chant with clarity and desperation. And I was a single father. My wife had passed away. I raised kids. Now I'm Vanaprastha, but no matter what, if you're married, if you're not married, if you're this or you're that, we have to try to get to bed early, get up early, and chant our rounds early in the morning, sitting in one place, to the best of our ability. And that will help us so much. That's a big solution to the problems. Then we can have discrimination. If you don't chant nicely, if you're chanting without complete faith in the holy names, Prabhupada said you have to have faith that simply by chanting these names, you can attain all devotional perfection. And that's what we're talking about in class, in this verse. We're talking about success, victory, and perfection in life. You have to not maintain material desires. That means you have to work actively at getting rid of them. What's the best process to get rid of material desires? This is what you do. You chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's like magic. It's something wonderful. You can feel the material desires go away. Hare chases away the inauspicious things and replaces them with the most auspicious things. And what are those most auspicious things? But the qualities of a sadhu. Prabhupada's creating jewels. In this way, he's provided the process. He provides the potency. Prabhupada can help us conquer lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. All these inauspicious things that infest the heart. We can become qualified. But what's more important than chanting? The most important thing, we're the Hare Krishna movement. Most important thing is the chanting. But there's something more important than chanting. What could it be? Everybody says, serving the devotees. But no, I'm just another trick pony. These are not my words, but they're Prabhupada's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Here we go. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 39. It's almost the last verse here. It's a nice verse. I like this. We'll read the Sanskrit. Shraddhava labhate gyanam tat para sanyatendriya gyanam labhva parang shantim achirena adigacchati. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge, Dhanavir Swami, strictly attends both morning and evening programs, practically every day of his life, unless there's some disruption from flying, catching a flight or something. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. In the purport, Prabhupada says, this faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over and above this chanting, one should control the senses. 16 nice rounds for regulative principles, because otherwise you're trying to cook rice and the rice is on the ceiling and the flame is here, right? The wedding party, paddling all night long, but he's still in the same place when the sun comes up. So we can stay in the same place for 300 more births or longer, or we can expedite matters. The distance that we have come on our journey of self-discovery
is so great compared to the distance we have to go due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. This lifetime, it'd be honest yogis. We don't have to drill the respiration. We don't have to adopt bogus processes, pushing the eyes and concentrate on a candle. I was desperate for the actual process of self-realization before I met Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. I was desperate. What was that thing the yogis were doing to attain perfection? Nobody could tell me. Be here now. Do this, do that, all these things. Platitudes and nonsense. It's very simple. Here's what you do. You grab a hold of these beads and chant with clarity and desperation. So it's late. I'm only going to read 8 of these, so I don't want to shock you or scare you. But I've written 108 prayers to my mala. I'm not going to read them. But I'll read the last 8. Would that be okay? You'd like to hear? So let me just find them here. Oh. I'll read the last few, whatever they are. And then we'll end. So I'm praying to my beads. I'm praying for Nam Kripa. This is, the Acharyas have also made prayers to the mala. Srinam Mala Grahana Mantra. Avignam Kudumali Tvam, etc. So I'm following their footsteps. I've made some little prayers. Showing kindness upon the conditioned souls. I'm addressing my mala and the holy names. You chase away demons from the blood and ghosts from the mind. But your greatest miracle is that you deliver Braj Prem to the heart of the fallen. Whenever I walk with you and hold you in the morning, I remember my dearmost friend, Sham Kishore. O mala, you are none different from Nam. You are the treasure map, the endeavor, the goal, jewels of Prem. It is cleansing to bathe at the village well in the morning. More cleansing still to bathe in the Ganga at midday. But the supreme purity is to swim in the Kunda of Japa Jagya all night long. Wherever I wander throughout the day as a pilgrim on a sacred journey, I will always return to home to Nam and to you. I am a neophyte. My life is full of troubles. But despite this, I shall always hold you. I shall hold you and chant. I shall chant. I shall chant. I shall hold you and chant. O Mala, you are the servant of Jogeshvara Hari, the supreme magician, who can change matter into spirit as he likes. Kindly bring me from the darkness to the light, from sadness to joy. When I hold you in the morning, whispering Nam, as Bhakti Vinod declares, life has wonderful meaning, and there is no fear, and the universe is full of joy. O Mala, like a jeweler fascinated by an exquisite sapphire, captured by its radiance, I study it intently, holding it with my fingers, and chant, and chant, and chant, and I see the jewel of Nam with the eyes of my ears. Please take this chanting seriously. It's something that there's no depth, you can't measure the depth of that ocean of profound chanting. One time Prabhupada was asked by someone very cynically, what's the point of this? What do you get from this chanting? Prabhupada said, more chanting. Someone said, what is the point of chanting? And Prabhupada said, it saves you from death. How's that? That's what you get from chanting. It saves you from death. One time, Prabhupada was being given the arguments of the deprogrammers in the 70s. And they were listing all the silly arguments that they had. And one of them, Prabhupada said, the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, they say we chant Hare Krishna all day. Prabhupada said, what is it to you what I do? Why do you care what I do all day long? They say we're sleep deprived. Prabhupada said, yes, we hate to sleep. It's like death. They say you're now not allowed to mix with us. Prabhupada said, yes, we hate to mix with you. You're all like crows. We're trying to create swans. We don't like to That's one thing I realized from traveling all over the world. There's crows everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's just black crows. I don't know if it's some omen or something. Anyways, very nice. Thank you for having me. I speak about the Dallas altar wherever I go because it's so effulgent. I've told the pujaris in Denver, please get the lighting so we can see Gornatai better. They don't have lights on Gornatai. Look at Gornatai. They're self effulgent. Look at the small deities. They're just so beautiful. And I'm begging the pujaris in Denver, please. That's where Maharaj is based out of. This altar, I speak about this altar. And it's just glowing. It's just indicative of the devotion here. Being surrendered to me, one should control speech. Right? We can complain. We can try to police ISKCON. But who are we? Prabhupada knows what's going on. He's a very good manager. He's the soul of this movement. So why should we waste our time trying to police ISKCON when we're not in a position to do so? Complaining in the parking lot with our friends. What we can do is speak about Krishna and the ever-fresh nature of the Supreme Lord and the ever-fresh nature of His holy name. And we can describe Krishna's qualities, how He's grateful, how Prabhupada is grateful. We can glorify Prabhupada. There's so much to talk about from Krishna book, Nectar Devotion, stories about Gopinath Patanayak in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is how we should use our speech. That's control of speech. Self-realization, the devotee told me when he sat down and talked to me, he said it begins with the tongue. Not just taking prasadam, but controlling the tongue and speaking nicely. Speaking nicely is science. You hear Prabhupada speaking. It's not a lot of stories, it's philosophy. Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. It's not a lot of leela, it's philosophy. Dhanavir Swami, same thing. It's solid philosophy, meant to lift you up and elevate you. Of course, the anecdotes and analogies and some leela. But it's solid philosophy. So learn this philosophy. Be a proper son of a father, a proper father. Being surrendered to me, one should control the speech, mind. Nam knocks out all that dust in the mind, all those impressions from millions of births. And life air. That life air, when you sit like this and you chant japa early in the morning, I swear to you, you'll have strength all day long from controlling the life airs. You won't need to sleep after lunch. You won't need to take any snap or power nap or whatever they call it. You won't need to lay down. You should aspire to stay awake all day, if possible, if you have good health. Because when you chant early in the morning, Prabhupada said there simply is no fatigue. And now I'm free. I'm lucky. I'm free. I don't have bills. I don't have a mortgage. So I chant extra rounds. And at night, I'm not fatigued. I go all day, and I get up very early. It's because of Nam. Bhakti Siddhanta said, Nam is luster and virility in a man. It means we have that strength from Krishna. And then through loving devotional intelligence, one will completely fulfill the mission of life. The Bhagavatam is so full of encouragement. I just saw this one verse. Devotees had me give class and they gave me this verse. Hya aham bhakta paradino hya svatantra ivadvija. Sadunam grasta hridiyo bhaktir bhakta janapriya. That's from the 9th canto, chapter 4, text 63. And what that means is that Krishna is speaking, and he's speaking to Devas Muni. And he said, although he is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Independent Lord, full of all opulence, he has no independence whatsoever. Read the verse. Aham bhakta paradino, because I'm captured by my bhakta. Aham bhakta paradino hyasvatantra, asvatantra. Swatantra means independence. Asvatantra means no independence. Therefore, I have no independence. Krishna says, sadunam grasta hridiyo bhaktir bhakta chanapriya. Not only that, I'm captured by my bhakta, but I'm captured by the bhakta of my bhakta. So this is why he doesn't award pure devotional service easily. But you come here and you chant, you get a good reference from Srila Prabhupada, you'll advance through the 9 stages from bhava to prema. You can have that in Kali Yuga. Just amidst the madness of Dallas and this crazy culture where everybody's running around frantically looking for Krishna but not finding. It's so sad. But here, perfection, success, it's all available. One time Prabhupada was walking in Mayapur, and the devotees were making some complaint. Prabhupada stopped and he pushed his cane on the ground and he said, "Only I have come to encourage. All of you have come to discourage." Three times, Prabhupada said. So, instead of discouraging, let's encourage others. And I'm personally inspired. Actually, this is why I travel. I'm inspired. Prabhu, it's so wonderful what Prabhupada's doing around the world. The devotees, their qualities, and the projects, and the preaching, and their dedication to Prabhupada and the mission. It's just an inspiration. It's just wonderful. So thank you for having me here, and I'm deeply grateful that I can be inspired by the swing ceremony. I first saw it in Vrindavan in 1976. It was became my one of my favorite times of the year is Julan Yatra. So thank you for having me, allowing me to swing Radha Govinda. It's an honor and a privilege. You have any questions or comments, criticisms or corrections of anything that may have been said today? Nityananda. Yes, Prabhu.
About the swing ceremony.
Yes.
How much Krishna loves us to come into the swing ceremony.
Yes.
So the story is told where Radharani likes to swing. It's one of her favorite things.
Yes.
So he comes in the guise of a gopi. Sometimes he sells fruit, sometimes he makes
garlands. He's a very sneaky fellow.
Yeah, sneaks in somehow. You know? And then this time he snuck in, and then he got the opportunity to actually push the swing.
Yes.
On which Radharani was swinging. So one time he swung it really hard.
Ooh.
And so Radharani became scared, so she yelled out, "Oh, Krishna, save me." And so Krishna jumped onto the swing and she raised him, you know. Here she was saying, "I want you." Really, wow. He said, "There's nothing that makes me happier than when Radharani wants to be with me like this."
Mm.
And the swing festival is the one we're celebrating Krishna's happiness at its peak. This is what Krishna wants.
Oh, I see. That's why you swing them so hard. So Radharani will call out in desperation, and Krishna will, "Yes, I'm here." Yeah, I know. That's a beautiful. Yeah. Oh, no. That's why. Yeah, it's very nice. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, not one thing is ordinary. Not offering obeisances, not samsara prayers. That's right. That's a great leela. Yes.
And in a sense, easier for me to catch the wind with my hand than to control my mind.
Yes. Millions of impressions in the mind.
Yeah. The process given to us is that we surrender to Krishna.
Yes.
But Krishna himself said to surrender to him, we should first surrender to his devotees.
Hmm.
Because it is the mercy of his devotees, you know. Which is why some of us say what we say, that it is really the service of the devotees that's the number one thing. Because then you get the mercy. By the mercy, you control yourself.
Yes.
Because he had a fight with the temple president, you know.
Mm.
And I was thinking to myself that, you know,
Yes. We call
ourselves devotees, but honestly, we're not devotees. Because a devotee is tested, like you said.
Yes.
It's only when you're tested that you know who is a devotee. And the worst test is when you're rejected, right, by the devotee association.
Mm.
They tell you, get out of the movement, we're going to. They haven't done that yet. But imagine if the DVC says that you are now excommunicated from the Hare Krishna movement. That would be a huge test, wouldn't it? That would be a huge test. And that test, if we maintain our love for the devotees, for the movement, for Krishna, and for our chanting like that, then I think Hare Krishna will say, this is a real devotee.
That's one of the nicest things I've ever heard. That's very deep realization, Prabhu. Yes, if you're rejected by your brothers and friends, and you still maintain deep affection and gratitude and love for them, there's nothing higher than that tolerance. That proves that although that we've tried to kick you away, your heart won't go. Your body may go, but you're still your appreciation for their seva and who they are. Yes, yes.
I left Krishna and I went to this mountainous place. And I thought to myself, Adi Krishna myself.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yes, Bhakti Siddhanta said that you should wish the highest good for those who have treated you like an enemy. You should still wish they attain Vraj Prem, even though they've kicked you with their feet. That's very nice, Prabhu. Very nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ah. You made the feeling come out because, you know, you spoke right down the center. But Prabhupada wants us to be stay focused, right? Don't get caught up in all these nice frills that out there look like frills, they're not frills, they're just distractions.
That tolerance that you mentioned is what we have to come to that point that we can be kicked and we still have love and affection and appreciation. Yes, yes. Yes, that's right. It's practical. Chance. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. That's probably one of the toughest tests, and money and attraction to women are smaller compared to that.
Yeah.
To if you're kicked on your chest by who you consider a brother and a friend, and you still say, Krishna, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
I'm staying, I'm gonna serve Prabhupada's mission whatever way I can figure out. I'm gonna try to sneak some darshan once in a while.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do. Yes. Yes. Your feet were not injured. So the Brahmins should be similarly as tolerant, without any sense of pride. Without any sense of pride in my intelligence or birth or position. That's one of the.
Thank you. I'm happy you're preaching to the prisoners. We're prisoners, really.
There's no difference.
Absolutely none.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, they really appreciate the association of devotees. Yeah. So that's a good thing. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for class.
Thank you.
The book that you recommended from Dhanavira Maharaj was his Garbha Samhita.
Yes. Yes. On the back cover, there are endorsements from Rupa Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada, and others, that this book is one of the five books, very valuable books, that should be read. And if you look at the covers, it's all like Brajalila, Brajalila, Brajalila. It's just like an extension of the 10th canto. And Maharaj is in a frail condition because of Parkinson's, everyone knows. His voice is weak, he has tremors, and so many things. But when he speaks the purports or a commentary, it's just like Prabhupada. And it's all brilliant. It's like
you know, researched for days on one purport, but he just speaks it in a few minutes, like Prabhupada. It's his deep realizations. And then when he tours, people are a little surprised because they haven't seen him for some time and he may have deteriorated, the tremors are more pronounced or whatever. But as soon as he opens his mouth, it's, oh my God. You know, the depth of his realizations is profound. And they're so impressed. That can be ordered, and I can tell you how to do it. Okay. So here's how to order. I was always taking orders. rvc.edu duck. I'm trying to remember. RVC, Rupanuga Vedic College. You can order on their website. I don't want to give the wrong email. So please do, Prabhu, if you're listening. I didn't realize that, but all of you out there, please honor Srila Prabhupada's disciple who has so much honored Prabhupada with his behavior and with his words and with his life. I want to tell you a quick story I think you'll like. I don't know if too many people know this story, and then we'll. But Dhanavir Maharaj was a young man, golden, handsome, made golden by the South California sun. His father was a professional volleyball player, a champion. He's in the Hall of Fame. So was Maharaj at the time. He was a champion. He met devotees on a Wednesday in Hollywood. He was there with his friends, just strolling about and having some fun. The devotees took time and preached to him. His friends went on and he listened to the devotees. A little later he caught up with his friends. And so the next Saturday was a tournament where he and his partner, it was a two-man volleyball tournament, he and his partner were seeded number one internationally. There's $25,000 waiting for him after an hour and a half of goofing around in the sand, knocking some balls around. So he had been spoken to by a devotee on Wednesday. He was there. He came to the tournament. There's crowd on this side, crowd on that side. He's holding the volleyball, moving the volleyball in his hands like they do, slapping the ball, looking around, thinking about what the devotees were telling him, about the futility of this life, how the pursuit of God is the real priority. He's thinking these things that the devotee told him. Looking, he stops. He turns to his friend who's in back of him. His friend's waiting for him to begin. Crowd's cheering. And he says to his friend, I can't do this. He says, I can't do this. His friend said, what do you mean you can't do this? He looks at him and says, I can't do this anymore. And he said a little bit something about what he really wanted to do with his life to his friend. And his friend looked at him and said, well, if you can't do it, you can't do it. Maharaj walked off the court. That was the end of his volleyball career. Just like Giri Maharaj giving up $1 million. Hey, come back home, I'll give you $1 million. He had fame, money, sense gratification, you name it. If he wanted it, take it. Here it is. He took the ball, threw it in the sand. Srila Prabhupada, key!